This is our final message in Luke for just a few weeks. We'll be back, Lord willing, after the new year. But we break for Thanksgiving. We have a special Thanksgiving message. We break for Christmas and have a number of Christmas messages because we need to stay focused on the reason for the season. And then we'll do a year-end message. We do a special come before winter. And then we'll come back to Luke. And when we come back, we'll be in the Lord's Prayer in chapter 11. This is the end of chapter 10. Okay? And it's instructive. It's always instructive when you come to the scriptures. You'll find this story sandwiched between the Good Samaritan. Remember last week, the Good Samaritan. And then the one immediately following is the Lord's Prayer. This is important. But this is a very misunderstood, again, another one of those misunderstood passages. Remember how the Good Samaritan had been misunderstood? Well, this one has been horribly misunderstood by many giants in the church, in the history of the church. And there's become a huge split in the church because of it. We want to talk about it. We want to make sure we understand what this passage is designed to teach us. And you're all familiar with it. It's a very familiar story. We use it as examples for a number of different things, but we want to make sure that we understand what was Jesus teaching through this narrative. This event remember, the parable of the Good Samaritan was a story. It wasn't real. It was a story. This is real. This is a real historical event that took place. This is no parable. So there's something deep here that Jesus wants us to see. Okay? Title, First Priority. First Priority. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Hear now the word of God. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And may God add his rich blessing to his inspired and errant infallible word. Pray with me. Father, it's no accident we're here this morning. Everyone by divine appointment and all those by way of the internet, speak now through this broken vessel and speak only your word from this pulpit. It is only the power of the word of God applied by the spirit of God that conforms us to the image and likeness of the Son of God. And that is what we desire most. Make it a word of salvation for the lost and unsaved. A word of comfort for those in storm winds, and a word of rest for the tired, weary, and heavy laden. All things to all people that some might be saved. Come, now fount of every blessing. Unclutter our minds and unburden our hearts that we might see Jesus in him only. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said. Real simple. Right out of the narrative, we're going to look at three headings, and they jump off the page for us. Okay? Under first priority, three headings. Number one, Martha. She's the first one that shows up. Number two, Mary. And then finally, number three, Messiah. Pause for just a moment. Let's be clear what this is not about. We want to be very, very careful. And even the great Saint Augustine set forth a framework to tell us this great dichotomy between the contemplative and the practical life. The life of meditation and prayer and devotion to God and the life of ministry and service. And this false dichotomy has done great damage to the church. Not only has there been an emphasis on this separation between the contemplative and the practical and the active, but it's been set in a hierarchy. One is to be more desired above the other. Oh, what a horrible thing. That is not what this passage is teaching. Calvin said of Augustine's writing, he is wrong. This is not what this passage teaches. It does not set the contemplative, meditative life in opposition to the active. We have a shirt, and one of our logos on the shirt from the very beginning says, "Love God and love people." Two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as your... They're the same. There's no separation between the two. What's better? A life of prayer or ministering to the homeless? It answers itself. What's better, serving food at a kitchen or meditation? They're equal. They're all acts of worship to God. But there's something in this story that we need to see, because something happens to one of the participants. But don't think for a moment that one aspect of the Christian life has been set apart for the other. No, that is not true. As if to say that Martha represents those who love people, and Mary represents those who love God. Shame. This is a proof text for that, but we will prove this morning that that is not right. Martha, shall we look at her first? And before we launch into Martha, may I ask the question, and remember, you're being live streamed, so we'll check this when we're done. Are there any Marthas in here this morning? Oh, I better see every hand and every head nod right now, because I'm not alone in this mess. Every single one of you are Martha. Are we clear? I'm not alone in this. I can't be the only one, if you're in a committed marriage relation, I can't be the only one whose spouse says, is there an off switch anywhere? And I look, I say, I don't see one. I don't know, where would it be? Oh, for years, there's no off switch. Going, going, and you just damage everyone around you. It's too much. It's got to be an off switch. There has to be a balance in the Christian life. We have to know when to serve and when to sit at His feet. That's the hardest thing for me to do. I'm Martha. There's a lot of good in Martha. Let's take a look. Jesus and His disciples came to a village and a woman named Martha. You know by that statement, He doesn't know her yet. It's about 6 months before the cross. They're not friends yet, but she knows Him. A woman named Martha. Martha opened her home to Him. At this point, here's the transition that's taken place. There's 6 months. He has set His face to Jerusalem. Miracles are few and far between. It's now all about teaching. Remember, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Miracles save no one. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of... Miracles just laid the framework for the Almighty. Just a little bit of proof to let you know I am who I say I am. But now we're in the final semester. The disciples, this is crunch time. School's almost over. 6 months. So now it's teaching. Intense. And He's going to teach in this home He's never seemingly been to before. What do we see in Martha here? A couple things. She's caring. Because we want to make sure that we see the good in Martha here. Because we're all Martha and there's got to be some good in there, right? Caring for her family. Well, how do we know she's caring for her family? It doesn't say it in Luke here. Remember, this is the only gospel account that has this story of Martha and Mary. This is it. Can't find it in the other three. But we got to go to John. So will you go with me to John 11:1? Take a look at John 11:1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany. So we know we're in Bethany, just a few miles away from Jerusalem. Keep that in mind as we get to the next point. So they're close to Jerusalem. The village of Mary and her sister Martha. What do we know? Martha has siblings living with her. Why? We don't know why. But we know she cares for her family. So Lazarus and Mary are living with her. We don't know the reasons why. But she's the mistress. Martha is the mistress of the home. So we have the framework. She's caring, but there's something else beyond just caring. She's courageous. What does that mean? For her Lord, she opened her home in spite of mounting opposition. He's 6 months out. They've already tried to kill him a few times. Opposition couldn't be greater. She knows this. Perhaps they were evangelized in Bethany when the 70 were sent out two by two. Remember, Jesus sent them out. So she's heard of him. She knows of him. She opens her house and doesn't care about the opposition. How intense is the opposition? How widespread and how well known? Back to John 7:25. People asked, isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Yes. Yes. But they couldn't. It wasn't time. And by the way, no one takes his life. He lays it down. So she's caring and she's courageous. And hospitality, can we be clear about, we live in a different cultural context. That's why you have to understand how different it is to evangelize today. You've heard of an honor-shame society? We don't live in one of those. That's gone. There's no honor-shame, none. She lived in an honor-shame society. First century, many cultures today still live in an honor-shame society. It meant something to be honorable. It meant something to be shameful. Hospitality was commanded by God. And it would be shameful not to be hospitable. It would be shameful not to open your house to those who were passing by. This was the mark of someone who understood her responsibility to God vertically and to others horizontally. So it meant something in this cultural context, much more certainly than this culture, this country. Some cultures still clearly honor shame. It's important to have that understanding. We've lost that today. They did not. So she's the model of that at some level. Back to the passage. Martha was distracted. The Greek that would word used there, instead of me just showing it to you, it's pulling her apart. It's pulling her in a variety of different directions. She's distracted at the deepest possible level by what? All the preparations. And she came to Jesus and asked, don't miss this. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Now you need to pause. Jesus has entered into this home that he has been invited into. And he's teaching. He's teaching. Martha's sister is no longer serving with her. She's sitting. We'll see her in a moment. Martha is so distracted. Listen to what distraction did to her. She's so distracted by the preparations. Somehow she felt comfortable. She knows who he is. He calls him Lord. And that's not just a title for sir or master. She knows who he is. This is her Lord. Kyrios, this is her Lord. She storms up to him somehow. Lord, excuse me for just a moment, Lord. I know you're talking about things that matter. You're talking about the kingdom of heaven and conquering sin and going to a cross and defeating the devil. But the bread is burning in the oven. I need some help. Don't you care? Can you imagine? The inspired irony is palpable. He cared so much to go to a cross for this woman. And she says, don't you care? You hear the echo? Remember the disciples in the boat? The boat's being swamped and he's sleeping. They shake him. Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. But it gets worse. She convicts him of being uncaring. Now, she commands him, tell her to help. She's commanding the commander in chief. This woman's got it going on. Man, you got to see it all. Don't you care? Tell her to come back to me. I can only imagine, if that were me, what my response would... I won't give you my response. We're going to just stay to the text. Let's do one first, and then we'll go to Mary. Ready? 1 Peter 5:7. This is who she's speaking to. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Don't you care? The inspired irony is thick. Yes, of course I care. But I care about the stuff that matters most. Bread that lasts forever, not the one that's burning in the oven. Martha. Martha. Ah, you're all Marthas, every one of you. Every one of you. Mary. Any Marys here? A little slower. Any Marys here? Of course, we're all Martha and we're all Mary. Key is to try to figure it all out, right? Okay, let's take a look at Mary. What's up with Mary? 10:39. Now Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. We'll get more deeply with her in a moment, but three times Mary of Bethany, a lot of Marys, right? Very popular name. First century Judaism, Mary's everywhere. But Mary of Bethany, this Mary's mentioned three times, and three times where do we find her mentioned? Say it, at the feet of Jesus. Here she's at the feet. Lazarus, in her state of unimaginable woe, she falls at the feet of Jesus. Oh, Lord, if You'd only been here. And then a little later, she's anointing His feet with pure nard. This woman is always at the feet of Jesus when we read her in Scripture. But that's not the only place. So stay with me. At the feet of Jesus means what? Oh, don't miss this. Women were not allowed in that cultural context to sit at the feet of the rabbi, of the teacher. Why? They were not worthy of being taught. Don't waste your breath and your teaching on the woman. Jesus turns the world upside down instantly, and here's the woman closest to Him at His feet. What is He saying? Every single person has value and worth. That is an apostate religious system that this Jewish nation has sunk down to. They've missed it. So this woman who had no business being at the teacher's feet obviously is invited and welcomed. She's a disciple. What a radical departure from first century Judaism. Okay, Paul is said to have been at the feet of Gamaliel, the great, probably the greatest rabbi of that time, sitting at his feet. That was the posture. You sat at the feet of the teacher. Women did not sit at the feet of the teacher. They were not invited in. She's there. Psalm 27:4. Just two passages, and then we'll go to Messiah. Mary understood David's passion. What was David's passion? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. One thing I ask, this only do I seek. What? The presence of God. David got it. Mary's got his passion. And then we go to the New Testament. We're going to put the old and new together, right? One word from one God to one world. Go to the new. Let's see Paul. Philippians 3:13. You know how Paul was focused on what? One thing. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Mary understood what was most important. In that moment, Martha did not. And we're all there at times. We're all sometimes Martha and sometimes Mary. But the Bible makes it clear what is absolutely most important. Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Mary understood that. She got it. She was not distracted by the preparations. So she's where she should be. Martha, when she came in to approach Jesus, what should she have done? Instead of speaking, she should have sat down. Jesus didn't want a 7-course meal. He didn't come to the house to be fed. Hospitality, yes, it's commanded. But he came to feed. And he came to feed both Mary and Martha and the disciples who were with him. Mary got it. In that moment, Martha did not. But let's not be too hard on Martha, okay? Martha distracted, Mary at his feet. Now let's go to Messiah. How is he going to respond to this? How would you respond? You're teaching and you understand the importance of your message. He's teaching on the kingdom of heaven and she's fussing about the table being set. It's unimaginable. So how is he going to respond? I'm thinking, okay, it's coming. He's going to hammer this woman. What does he do? 10:41. Martha. Martha. Just stop there. We spend the rest of the day. We come back. We spend the rest of our weeks. Never leave here. Put your name in there. Do you know what that is? That is a Hebrew expression of intimacy. Did you know that? That is a Hebrew expression of the deepest kind of intimacy the world has ever seen. And what has he just done? Here's a woman who has just rebuked him and commanded him, convicted him of being uncaring. And what does he say? Martha. Some call this a mild or gentle rebuke. I don't even see that. This is a statement of relationship and intimacy and intercourse. I remember Steve Brown, I first heard this from him. God knew you and took care of you before you knew him. Martha was always his. You were always his. You just didn't know it. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and you're upset about many things. Let's just look at a few. Ready? You need to see this. This is so powerful. Because why? Every one of us are Martha. So he's calling your name. He's calling your name when you get so wrapped up in the preparations. Sometimes we can be so focused on the service, we start serving the service and we no longer serve the Savior. We forget him. And don't miss this. We sometimes talk about idols and idols of the heart and we start looking for bad stuff and say, okay, I'm going to find that bad stuff and get it out. No, most of the idols are good things. It is a good thing to serve Jesus. But good things become bad things when they become ultimate things. She couldn't break free. She couldn't set the doing down. And yet, with a heart cry, Martha, Martha. Remember Abraham? Ready to plunge the knife into his son Isaac. Abraham. Abraham. At the bush that is burning but won't burn up, Moses. Moses. This is a cry of intimate, personal relationship between God and man. And our favorite character of all, the one who has most often foot and mouth disease. Now Martha kind of has joined the team. Don't you care? The one who has cosmic care for the entire universe doesn't care. And she commands the commander. But oh, Simon. Simon. You won't die for me. In fact, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But when you turn back, feed my sheep. What does it presuppose? He's turning away and Jesus knows he's turning away. But he loves him just the same. Simon. Any Simons? Simon. Oh, the enemy of the cross was his before he knew it. Saul. Saul. Why? Why do you persecute me? Who is this, Lord? Who? I'm not persecuted. I'm persecuting the church. No, it's me. They're mine. When you do wrong to them, you do wrong to me. Why? Saul. Saul, you're mine. Martha. Remember that the next time you can't put your doing down and you've missed that opportunity to sit at his feet, hear him call you by name twice. He knows and he cares for you. But one thing, back to the passage, but only one thing is needed. Notice the word chosen. They both had the choice. Listen to me. Every moment of every day you have a choice. You have a choice to serve or to sit. You have a choice to turn away or turn towards. You always have the choice. And the choice is yours. Mary made a choice to set her doing down and to sit at the feet of Jesus. And what does he say? She chose what is best. And it will not be taken away from her. I don't care about the table. I understand hospitality. I get it, Martha, but enough is enough. You have to know when to stop. There's got to be an off switch, or service then just overwhelms you and you become distracted and no longer can you worship me in your service. Every act of service is an act of worship. When your heart is beating for the Savior and not the service itself. Mary got it. Martha didn't. He says, I'm not going to take it from her. She's chosen what is best. As if to say, you should sit here. What does he say? When he's speaking to the devil, what does he say? It capsulizes this entire narrative. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mary sat to listen to Jesus speak. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. She was listening to the Word of God from the God of the Word. And Jesus says, I will not take this from her. John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Martha, Martha. I have bread you know not of. It doesn't bake in an oven. But now the good news. Once again, any Marthas in here? There's hope for you. And me. How do I know? We read it in sacred scripture. Watch what happens. John 12:1-3. Don't miss this, Martha. Six months, he's in the house for the first time now, 6 days. We've been in training for 6 months. How many times they were together, we know not. But she's learned something. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came back to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. I cannot read anywhere where she complained. I don't read where she barged in and said, Lord, don't you care? Well, why would she do that? Perhaps her sister was still in the kitchen with her. Oh, read on. Read on. While now the brother is sitting down doing nothing. He's among those reclining at table, but maybe Mary's help. Mary took about a pint of expensive perfume. She poured on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. She's at his feet again. But Martha's not distracted. Martha got it. You can serve. But if you're distracted in your service, put that doing down. Because you're not serving him anymore. You're serving you. But now she's serving her Savior. She understood the balance. She didn't care that Mary was sitting at his feet. That was good for Mary right then. She didn't need to get there then. She's going to get there later. She's going to finish the serving. And the brother, I'll just let him sit there. I'm not going to talk about him. Lughead, Lazarus, just sit over there. He came back from the dead anyway. Just let him sit. I'll have him do the dishes at the end. I don't know. I didn't read it. It's not in there. I don't know. I'm just making that up. It's called extra biblical. I don't know. But I know she got it. She's not fussing. If you're fussing in your service, then you're missing your Savior. He doesn't need your service. Don't do it. But when your service is an act of worship, you're not distracted anymore. Your heart is beating for Him. You get it. She got it. Don't miss now the close. First priority. Luke 10:40. Watch this. Martha was distracted by all the preparations, back to the passage, and came to Jesus and asked. Now, we've been through this, but I'm going to highlight a different portion. Lord, don't you care? We've been there. That my sister has left me. Stop. What does that mean? She was once with her. When Jesus said to Peter, when you turn back, feed my sheep, it presupposed he would turn away. With Martha saying she has left me, Mary must have been with her early on in preparing for the meal. But she knew when to shut it down. That's the difference between. It's not the contemplative life versus the practical life. It has nothing to do with that. The active life versus the no! They both were serving. They both were worshiping in their service. But Mary knew, I can't worship any longer this way. I'm starting to be distracted. I gotta go. I gotta put it down. Martha worshiped Jesus in her service. Mary worshiped Jesus in her service. They're both worshiping Jesus in their service. But something happened. Wheels came off the tracks for one of them. Martha was distracted, derailing her devotion. Mary was undistracted in delivering her devotion. Beloved, this passage has never taught Mary or Martha. It's not Mary or Martha. It's both. The balance of both. A balance between the contemplative and the active. A balance between feeding the poor and prayer. A balance between giving shelter to the homeless and meditation. The balance of Mary and Martha. We're both. The key is to find that balance. You can't keep going. You have to know when to put that doing down. And go from service to sitting. But then don't just stay sitting. Get up out of the pew. Get busy in the service. Then come back to the sitting. There's a balance between the both. Not one versus the other. Both balanced. The gospel is clear. Jesus said it's the word of God. And she's listening to the words of life. You've heard the words of life today. Perhaps you have never come to a place in your life where you realized that you needed a Savior. For you thought perhaps you were saving yourself. You're doing. You've been doing a lot of good stuff. Jesus said, Martha, I don't need your doing. You need the Word. The Word is what brings you into the kingdom. So Jesus, with outstretched arms and nail-scarred hands, invites you this morning. Listen to me very carefully. You are invited right now by Jesus to sit at His feet. Tomorrow, you may be His footstool. Hear me well. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow it may be too late. None of us know if we'll be here tomorrow. We might all be gone. If you are not in Christ, if you are not in Christ, when you take your last breath, it will be too late. And you will open your eyes in hell, eternally separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But you hear my voice now, and by way of the internet, this is a moment of salvation. Come to Christ by grace through faith. Come to Him. Set your doing down. Trust in Christ alone. He said He was the Messiah. He proved it, and God gave the stamp of approval on the third day when a dead man got up and walked out of the tomb. And right now He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father making intercession. Even for my words that fail you, He's making them right in your heart. Come, Jesus says, to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, if there's anyone in this sanctuary or anyone by way of the internet who has never, ever surrendered control to Jesus, make this a moment of salvation. They pray right now with me. It's not a prayer, but words are simple to offer to You. Oh Lord, I heard the gospel and I understand that I cannot save myself. But thank God I don't need to. For Jesus did it all for me. He paid the penalty for my sin. And I receive it by grace through faith. I trust not in myself, not in my doing, but I trust in Christ alone. If you pray that prayer, salvation, by faith through grace, with a heart that beats for Jesus, salvation comes to you. You'll know in your heart that God has raised you from death to life. He's given the gift of repentance and faith because your heart begins to beat for something bigger than you. It begins to beat for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the mark of true salvation. What does your heart beat for? And Lord, for all those who've walked many for decades, keep us walking. Strengthen us in our faith and grow us up into Christ. Help us to find the balance between Martha and Mary as we journey our way to the celestial city. And on that way, may we do all the good we can to all the people we can by Your grace and in Your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you all stand as we continue our worship?